What's up, everybody, and welcome back to the Anything Better podcast, your favorite podcast, the best podcast on the planet. I mean, let's be honest. You got your host, Paul Verzi, Bill Burr. We got the Greek freak, Andrew Themlis, out there from his beautiful, gorgeous compound out there in Beverly Hills. Don't know why he's wearing a winter hat when he's got a hot tub right behind him. And you guys are listening to episode number 50. It's a big one, guys. It's actually a big one because we're two away from, we've been doing this 50, this is the 50th time, two away from a year. It's gone like that because when you're working with people you love, it's not work. Who's number 50?
Oh, I got some good for you.
Okay.
From Dallas Cowboys, D.D. Lewis.
I can't say I know him.
Oh, you're the worst. You're the worst.
I don't know him. Lewis
from the Patriots, Sam Hunt. And I want to say the center, the great center from the Oakland Raiders, Super Bowl 11 champion, Dave Dalby. Those are the 50s that came to my mind.
Okay. I didn't know. You know what, dude? I'm not going to lie. I think the Hunt guy on the Patriots I knew. I didn't know those other guys.
Sam Hunt is the guy you should know.
Wait a minute. Is there an NBA number? There's got to be an NBA monster number.
David Robertson.
I was going to say the Admiral,
the
right?
Admiral.
The Admiral was number 50. Andrew, do we have any NBA number 50s other than the Admiral? It's got to be.
Hey, by the way, shout out last week, episode 49. Honorable mention. I forgot Earl Cooper.
Nice.
Great 49er who was on the cover of Sports Illustrated spiking the ball when they beat the Bengals. Or as Paul calls them, the Bengals. Walk like an Egyptian.
You sounded the same when you just said it, though. I'm not going to lie. You said it exactly the same to me. Maybe I'm hearing it wrong.
I think I've been saying it so many times, I'm starting to say it the way you say it. The Bengals versus the Bengals.
You know what's funny?
Versus Bang.
Bengals. Bengals.
Bang. Yeah, Bengals. Bang.
You know what's funny about what was that?
I was gonna give you that list.
Okay.
Bimbo Coles. One of the great sports names of all time.
That's a great name.
Tyler Hansbrough.
Okay, I remember him. Went to North Carolina.
Tito Horford, Al Horford's father.
David Robinson, 50.
52?
No, is he 53?
No. He's 50.
Yeah, he was 50.
Yeah. David Robinson.
I'll tell you who's coming up. Who's coming up, Paul? Daryl Dawkins. Thunder. The first dude to break a fucking backboard. The reason for the collapsible rim.
You know what's funny, dude? When I show up to places and people talk about our show, they'll always come up to me and go like this. I swear to God, it's like I would never think that this would be the one thing. They go, hey, man, love Anything Better. Listen, dude, you guys missed number 39. They always listen, guys, we're doing it like we're doing it at the beginning as a quick thing. We don't like have the whole fucking we can't like research everything. It's so funny, though.
We should start having people send their thing in. Send one in next week for 51.
Well, people
we're getting
think
into some linebacker numbers, and we're getting into some major NBA guys when you get into the 50s. I don't know, you know, baseball, maybe pitchers or something like that. Paul, can I tell you about the fucking week I've had?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, my God. All right. I go to New York. Okay. Oh, first of all, on Monday, I find out that me and three other people I'm working with on this project were exposed to two people that had COVID. So I'm like, what the fuck? What do I do? You know, so I take a test like Sunday night and then I test again Monday. I'm negative, right? Then I go to New York. I land in New York and then one of my buddies goes, dude, I tested positive too. We had like lunch or whatever, right? So, you know, you take off, you got to eat, take off the mask. So I'm like, oh, fuck. So I had to call Maureen and be like, Maureen, you're not going to believe this. I might be positive. So she goes, run over to the venue now and get a fucking, you know, a test. So I run over to the venue. I get a test. You know, I'm all in my head going, I got to have it. I got to have it, right? I test negative. Thank fucking God, right? So then I come back. You know, I do the Patrice gig. The fucking thing goes great. Everybody killed. It was such a great. It was David Tell's birthday. We sang him happy birthday. Really a magical night as always. And thanks to everybody who came out. Then I'm flying home. I can't remember the... Yeah, I'm flying home, dude. I fucking left my laptop at the TSA.
Oh, I've done that. That's the worst.
Yeah. Shout out to Club Soda Kenny. So I get home. I find that out. I find out another one of my buddies tests positive. You know, I'm trying to put this fucking movie together. So I got tested again. I'm still negative, but like you can keep, you know, you can be negative for like 3-4 days and then be positive again. So far I'm negative, but I had a gig Saturday night and I just was like, if I don't move this thing, I know it's, you know, if I don't move it, if I move it, I won't be fucking positive. But if I don't move it, I know what's going to happen the day of. I'll test fucking positive, or worse, I'll still test negative, and then on Sunday I'll test positive. And I don't want to give it to anybody out there at Fantasy Springs. So we had to move it to February 5th, I think, is when we're going to move it to. So I apologize to everybody. They got babysitters and all of that type of shit. But, I mean, it is these weird times. But so far, Paul, I got to tell you, I feel good, man.
Yeah.
I feel all right. You know, I'm taking my fucking vitamin C. My neighbor, who's not a doctor, told me to drink cat urine. So I'm doing that, you know. made more sense than listening to my primary care physician. Why would I listen to him? What are you trained in that field, you fucking asshole? Shut your mouth.
Here's what you do. Here's what you do. You get squirrel fur. If it's a possibility to get squirrel fur and rub it on your fucking head. I swear to God, dude. I know two kids that did it. They didn't get it.
I don't understand people like that. It's like I've socially distanced and worn a mask and I haven't got it.
Nothing. There's nothing funnier than having a comedian at a comedy club sitting at a table with a pizza in front of them going, no, dude, here's the deal. Here's the thing. Here's what it is.
It's not that big a deal. Dude, you know what? I remember a long time ago, late 90s, I walked into the comic strip and every comic at the bar was talking about investing in .com stocks. Yeah. Every fucking one of them. Oh, AOL is going to split again. Blah, blah. In my brain, I was just like going, this isn't right. There's no way this is going to keep going. This doesn't make any sense. No comics breaking balls. No nothing. They were all talking about how much money they were making in the stock market. And I was just looking around at all these fucking, you know, class clown comedians. It's like, we don't make money on Wall Street. We're the suckers on Wall Street. Cash out and get the fuck out. Dude, I know guys that lost, like, I knew a guy that got a deal back when comics would get deals. He invested six figures into that shit and lost it all in .com. Fucking brutal.
No. Yeah, dude, you know what I did? I got a finance guy at one of the most reputed places, and I just said, dude, you tell me what the fuck to do. I told you that time. Nothing's funnier than acting like
you know something. Well, you can't act dumb with your money guy. Then he'll know you're an idiot, and then he'll fucking just start sending you the fake spreadsheets. The ones that are written in crayon with sunshine, a sunshine smiley face on at the top.
No, dude, I went up to an American Airlines pilot thinking I know shit because, you know, I was afraid. So I read her. So this American Airlines pilot, I'm at like a christening. I'm at like a party, like a family. We're at a house and they're eating. And he's like, oh, yeah, this guy, Paul, you know, like, I know. But yes, she's like, I'm American Airlines pilot. I go, oh, that's awesome. I go, yeah, man, I learned everything about it. I was like, you guys got like six backup things, like six backups on the engine on the takeoff. Right. And he's just holding a cookie. And he's like, no, it's not six. I was just like, all right.
I saw a YouTube video about it.
Like, I was so excited to tell him this knowledge that I have for taking off and how safe. And he didn't want to be mean. So he was just holding a cookie. And he's like, I don't know. Like, of course he knows I'm wrong. He was just like, I don't think it's six. So I was like, all right, nice to meet you. Fly safe. No, dude, yeah, dude.
By the time I met this author, I don't know how we were at this party, but this guy, he wrote one of these huge books that ended up getting turned into a movie. And somebody introduced him. And I was just like, I didn't know what to say. I was just like, oh yeah, you wrote a book, huh? Man, that's gotta be hard, huh? He's like, well, I mean, it's a lot of work. And I was just like, I don't read. Because I remember when I was in school and I had to do a paper, right? That was a lot of writing. And I didn't enjoy that. Dude, this guy wrote like a fucking... I don't want to embarrass myself by saying who the author was, but it was a fucking major book. He's one of these guys that can just crank out fucking books. And I just somehow was at a party he was at and I said that to him. And I immediately knew how dumb I sounded. And I walked over to my wife who was there and I told her what I said. She goes, you didn't say that. Tell me, why the fuck would you say? Because she was a fan of the guy.
Oh, my.
And I was just like, he's not going to think we're together. You're black and I'm white. I'll just stay over here and you can just go up and be adorable. God. You'll be fine.
Dude, that is so, if you're going up to Stephen King. Yeah, man. You can crank these things out. How you doing it? He's just like, all right, man. I like a comedy.
No, I was like, he wrote a book, huh? That's got to be hard, huh? That was so fucking...
Dude, that's even worse. Because he let... Dude, that's... Just... But you know what,
like,
dude?
Like walking up to a scientist that's looking through a microscope and you just go like, wow, that shit's real small, huh? Good thing you got that thing that magnifies it. You like that stuff, huh? You like looking at bugs?
Dude.
Which place the laboratory, whatever, instead of saying
And you know what,
laboratory, Bill? Or lavatory for bathroom?
I think it's lav.
Lav.
Dude, that's what
I'm
the one
drop a specimen in the commode. I'm smarter.
What the hell was I gonna say? Yeah, but the one thing that comedian, that's why I love sports. Because you can be a fucking truck driver, a comedian, work in a pizzeria. When you watch sports, some of those guys are better than the ESPN guys. And me and you are fucking proof of that. That's what I love about sports, man. Yeah.
Well, also, you're talking so much shit, Paul. We could literally get mopped next year. They could just mop the floor with us. It's gambling, man. It's not easy.
No, it's not easy.
It's not easy.
No. I'm just saying, like, I don't know about science and medicine. And I never, like, I don't know about science and medicine. I don't know the repercussions of COVID later on in my life. I don't know really how an engine in an airplane really truly works. I don't know. But what I do know is if you give the Chiefs a cover two, there's a chance they're not going to get the third down.
My favorite thing of when regular guys like us talking about really smart shit, and then they always go like, yeah, well, but here's what I don't get. Here's what I don't get. It's like, you don't get any of it. None of us do. You don't have an engineering degree. You're not a biochemist. Physicist. I don't know what the fuck those things are. I don't even know what that is. No. I have no idea what any of that shit is.
Dude, I got one for you. I'm on stage and somebody goes, they're Filipino or whatever they're from. And I go, oh, so what language do you speak? And they were like, no, there's not a. And dude, it was. And like everybody was just like, what? Then I was like, fuck that. I didn't know.
What?
I don't know if it was Filipino or whatever. There was somebody in the crowd was from an island or whatever. And I thought the first language is English. And I thought because of where they said, and they, I don't know if it was an Asian island, but anyway, I just go, what language is that? And they were like, they just looked at me And it was almost like, oh, you didn't know that, but their first language.
The first language is English, and it's an island. Was it England?
It was, no, it was, no. It was some Asian island. It
wasn't the Philippines. Philippines is Philippines.
The Philippines has its own. No, it was, I forgot. I got to find out. I got to find out what it was. But I remember being there.
Rhode Island?
What's that?
Was it Rhode Island?
No. It wasn't in the United States. It was Jersey. What language?
Was it you, dude?
I just felt so dumb. And two of the comics were like, I knew you were going to ask because not a lot of people know. Apparently, somebody was like, I would have said the same thing. But I was just like, oh, so what's that? What language, you know? And they were just like, America. And I was like, what's going on over here? Just fucking left.
No, you just got to call yourself out on it.
No, dude, the funniest thing I ever saw in a comedy club was a host was on stage about to bring somebody up and he starts doing crowd work. And he goes, he's doing all right. Then he says something that gets nothing. And he just goes, no, but I like you guys. What's going on back there, dude? And he just pointed to a dark corner. And dude, it was, you got to know comedy to know how fucking funny that is.
Oh, no, but I like you guys.
No, but I like you. And then he just goes, what's going on back there? Like it was such fight or flight. Oh God. So fucking funny, dude.
We were at the Patrice thing and Voss was trashing me. And I love how when Voss trashes you right at the end of his dig, he goes, okay. So he tries to cut hedge his bet in case it bombs to keep talking, to make noise. And then what I love is if he gets you with a good one and you laugh,
he laughs.
He laughs at your laughing. He goes like, he does that stupid Voss laugh. And then he walks away and then he comes back to see if you're still laughing. It's the fucking funniest shit ever.
No, it's great. He's fucking hilarious, dude.
Dude, he crushed it, the benefit.
Yeah, no, he's funny, man. And he's got such a good, he's like so self-deprecating. Like he doesn't take himself seriously. I forget
what his opening line was. It was a Saget joke, man. It was a Saget joke trashing me. I figure I don't want to fuck it up because it was worded perfectly. I believe the reason Bob was not able to be there that night was the premise, and he somehow brought me into it. Anyway, he set the tone early.
Dude, my family went from having COVID to now the house is completely fine for weeks. I was the only one to test negative. House is completely fine for weeks. Then a stomach bug goes through the fucking house. And then now that's gone. And it's just like, dude, it's like, oh, it's a winter. Oh, it's a dark winter. I mean, dude, I can't catch
it. Go open the windows in your house. Burn some sage. Like, get that shit out of there.
Jesus, man. What? I don't know what's going on here. My poor wife
is
like.
I'm going to get a big thing of sage and then some Lysol and light the Lysol on fire. You know, you shoot the flame to light the fucking sage. Oh, that makes me want to smoke a cigar. Woo!
Oh, man. Guess what? Half a cigar in November, half a cigar last week in Atlanta. I've smoked one cigar, maybe 1 1/4 cigars.
Would you smoke a nub?
I smoked one and unfortunately had to put it out. And then I smoked another one that went like 3/4 down. Dude, I have been not smoking cigars. The one I did smoke, my buddy from Australia sent, and he said what you said. He goes, dude, the serial numbers. He goes, they're all fake. He goes, light this thing. And I lit a Hoyo that he sent me. And dude, it was the greatest thing. As soon as you light it, you just go, yep, that's the Cuban tobacco. It's an instant. It's an instant.
I always say, oh my God.
You know, you smell it, you know it. Yeah. But my
throat. As you're lighting it, no.
All right, it's private VPN, everyone. Private internet access is a VPN that hides your IP address, encrypts your connection, and keeps you safe online. Secure internet connection, hide your data from your internet service providers or network administration. Admin, whatever the hell it means. Today's episode is sponsored by Private Internet Access, America's number one virtual private network or VPN. Even if you use incognito mode, your internet service provider is storing your browser data and many times even selling it, then what is the fucking purpose of it? That's why you need private internet access, because they're the ones that are going to help you. PIA encrypts and reroutes your internet traffic through one of its own servers, hiding your data from your internet service provider or your network admin. And with servers in over 75 countries, you can get unrestricted access to geo-blocked continents around the world. So you can shoot the shit with people in China. Hey, man, is it true? Are you coming to get us? PIA comes with easy-to-use apps and browser extensions for all devices, a rock-solid privacy policy, open-source security, advanced customization settings, and it was just ranked the fastest VPN in the world by PC Mag. And if you sign up with PIA right now, drop what you're doing, ignore your kids, you sign up right now, you can take advantage of the special deal only for Anything Better listeners / viewers. Get 3 years plus 4 months free for only $1.98 per month. That's 83% off and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Hey, I tried to jerk off to a guy fucking his sheep. I will give you your money back, buddy. It's much cheaper than the virtually every other VPN on the market. And if you get it right now, you can take advantage of the PIA's 30-day risk-free money-back guarantee. So try it out for 30 days and see if you like it. If not, just return it for a full refund. Here we go. Finally, the information. So click on the link in the description, privateinternetaccess.com/anythingbetter, and try out the best VPN on the planet completely risk-free. That's privateinternetaccess.com/anythingbetter. Get three years plus 4 months free for only $1.98 a month. That's 83% off, 30-day money-back guarantee. PIA has 30 million downloads worldwide, is available on all platforms, Windows, Mac OS, Android, Linux, and iOS.
I'll do bespoke. Okay. It's Bespoke Post, everybody. This winter, upgrade your daily routine with Bespoke Post and their new seasonal lineup of must-have box of awesome collections. Bespoke Post partners with small businesses and emerging brands to bring you the most unique goods every month. No matter what you're into, Box of Awesome has you covered, from winter cocktails. Oh, I like a cocktail. To cozy threads of camping gear essentials. Box of Awesome has collections of every part of your life. To get started, take the quiz at boxofawesome.com. Your answers will help them pick the right box of awesome for you. They release new boxes every month across a ton of different categories. It's free to sign up, and you could skip a month or cancel anytime. Each box costs $45, but has $70 worth of gear inside of it. There you go. It's a nice little gain. Plus, with each box of awesome, you're supporting small business. 90% of everything that comes in your box of awesome is from small up-and-coming brand. So you're helping out the little guy. You're helping out the fucking up-and-comer. You're helping out the underdog. Get 20% off your first month of box, first monthly box, when you sign up at boxofawesome.com. Enter the code BETTER at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com, code BETTER for 20% off your first box.
All right. Lastly, but not leastly, paint your life. Now that we can get out and travel and take vacations. When was this written? Can we? Is it okay? I don't even know what to do anymore. We want to celebrate some of our favorite times by turning our new memories into art. When I heard about paintyourlife.com, I thought, what a great idea for a gift for birthdays, anniversaries, weddings, etc. I thought all three of those things, Paul. But I figured it must be expensive. Not so. Not so. Choose from a team of world-class artists. And work with them until every detail is perfect. I just picture them taking street people off of Brazil that know how to draw. User-friendly platform makes it easier to order a custom-made hand-painted portrait in less than 5 minutes. It's fast. You can receive your portrait in as little as 2 weeks. Send any picture. Yourself, your family, your children, a special place, the blueprint of the interior design of your house. Someone you loved who isn't around anymore, a cherished pet, even an action shot of you. rubbing one out, no. Or your children playing your favorite sport at paintyourlife.com. There's no risk. If you don't love the final painting, your money over. Is refunded. Guaranteed. What?
Guys just keeled over.
Yeah. And right now, did you run over a cat? For some reason, you found it funny because you're more of a dog person. We will paint it. And right now, as a limited time offer, get 20% off your painting. That's right, 20% off and free shipping. To get this special offer, text the word BETTER to 64,000, 64-000. That's BETTER to 64,000. Text BETTER to 64,000, 64-, it should say, 000. All right, paint your life. Celebrate the moments that matter most. Terms apply, available at paintyourlife.com/terms. Guys, this is a great thing to give your girlfriend or wife on Valentine's Day. It won't cost a lot of money, and she'll think you thought about her. I just find a picture of the two of you that you like and have some poor jackass paint it for you. You're in the clear.
I just picture some
psycho. Enjoy a steak and a BJ.
He breaks up with her at a restaurant. She's crying. He snaps it. Sends that. Paint this.
He puts it over the mail over his fireplace.
She was cheating on me.
Again, right. Text BETTER to 64-000. God bless you.
Dude, I feel good though, man. I feel good. And I'm trying to I got hammered for the first time, but I was with my wife. It wasn't one of those mornings where you wake up, like I was with her, but dude, we went to this restaurant, expensive Italian joint. And I just kept going because I'm big on red wine now and I like Chianti. So I just go, I go like this. I go, we had like this really nice reserve. It was like a reserve Chianti. And we were with a couple of like couples. And I just go, I always look at the other people. I'm like, you want to, yeah. The waiters have to be all dressed nice. And I just go, yeah, just, and then I just said to him, I'd be, you know what, dude, just keep bringing these bottles until when they start running out, just keep bringing the bottles. And dude, I got fucking, I mean, not publicly, but dude, I caught one.
What do you mean not publicly? You're in a restaurant.
No, like I wasn't hammered like with the other couples, but when we got back, I think I poured myself a, something else. And I just, Bill, I got when my whistle gets wet, I just, it was just one of those, dude.
All right, okay. So you were ordering for the table.
We're ordering for the table and he keeps pouring everybody. And they were so delicious with dinner, good conversation. So I said, keep them coming. Just keep bottles.
If you have another couple there, like you get one glass each, like there's like four glasses, like a nice pour. It's like four glasses, right?
A nice pour is four glasses. Yeah. But I mean, he was just lining up bottles, dude. And it was so good. And it was one of those like really light. It wasn't a heavy red. It was like one of those where you look at it through the glass and you could almost see it was like a light. And it was just, you know, it just no burn down the chute. And I was just like, keep it coming. Dude. No burn down. Like the chest didn't feel it, man. And
I always called it a red wine. Wine hangovers are brutal.
I think not with good quality, I don't feel like, but actually yeah, when you drink, when
I just always found, I don't know. I like wine, but I also always found like, I always hated when like, you know, when the chick came up to you and she's drinking red wine and her teeth are all gray. You're really funny. The grape shit all over their teeth. Really
if
bad.
But if you have purple teeth and red lips from drinking wine, dude, you were drinking, if you're a piece of like, you know, that's not like a dinner wine drinker. Like that's like the way dudes drink fucking Coors Lights.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think there's a lot of wino women out there. You know, I think, you know, yeah. You know, they're more sophisticated than us. So they go with the wine. And I think because there's such a intellect intertwined with knowing wines that you know you feel like you don't have a drinking problem. And I don't know, Paul, I do miss the days of irresponsibly drinking. Like whenever they say drink responsibly, I'm always thinking like, well, what is the point of that? What is really the point of that? What are we doing here? It's like getting one slice of pizza. Who can do that?
Why do we have to do that? Why does it have to be like that? Why can't you enjoy 5-6 glasses of wine, okay, and enjoy dinner and drink wine with your, and then all wake up fine? How come we haven't figured that?
How come alcohol can't give you abs and eating shit food and cake? Like, why couldn't it be that fucking easy? If there's truly a God that loves us, Paul, why does everything good come with a price? And if you're fucking eating Brussels sprout salads, hating your life with fucking some sort of fucking unsalted nuts chopped up in and whatever the hell I got in front of me, that makes your stomach flat.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know, but it's cruel. It's cruel.
You know what the answer
is? What's the answer?
Heroin. Heroin. If you do heroin, you have abs for life.
You just said that like Naked Gun. He goes, no. He goes, drugs. He goes, nurse, get this man some drugs. He goes, no, heroin. He goes, Nordberg, that's a pretty tall order. You're going to have to give me a couple of days on that. Dude, I said a tweet that got a lot of women asking questions. It wasn't a bad feedback, but I said a tweet that got people going. So I'll share it here on the show. I said, if you want to know which one of your friends is going to get divorced, just look at his wife's Instagram, right? And it got a lot of... It got a lot of positive, but then some women go like, what are you looking for? And then dudes just started writing like selfies with no kids or no husband in the picture, like bikini shit. Like,
put it back out there.
Dude.
Oh, I like how they're like, what are you looking for? Is that because they want to see who's going to get a divorce? Are they trying to cover their own tracks?
Somebody goes, what should I be looking for? And a couple of people said that, and then people were like, so what does that even mean? And I'm like, well, it kind of means that if you look at your wife's Instagram and you see a bunch of selfish narcissistic shit without family stuff, it's a problem.
She's not satisfied. She's still searching.
The one that I found is good. This is just my stupid, what do I know? But I don't think it's stupid and narcissistic to, if it's not always, like, I've noticed that people that take pictures of their dinner or their food, like if the plate, like if the sushi plate looks ridiculous, and I'm like, all right, that's cool. But it's the people that do shit where like they'll make a face holding the sushi, or like it's very about them. Like in the, you know, there's always some sort of like by a pool, and it's like, and then you see like mother, but no kids, no husband. Like, you know, the husband, it's not like the husband and the kids are there eating. It's like about what she's doing. And listen, I know there's some dudes like that. I know there are dudes married with kids taking pictures of shirtless with their abs. So this goes both ways. But if you want to see who's married to a piece of shit, dude, just go look at what people are posting of themselves. And I think that that's your answer.
Or what if you're a comedian? You just want a private life so you don't post pictures. I don't post any of that shit.
No,
fucking weirdos out there. I'm not doing that. Only thing I post shit for gigs or for other people's gigs and stuff. I got to get a little better about that, though. Doing like content and shit, but there's like fucking people, man. They post like 4 fucking times a day. I end up just hitting mute. It's like, I feel like you're my roommate. I don't need to know every fucking thing you're doing. I don't give a shit. Is that what you just did? You just go for a jog?
See,
oh, wow.
That's see, there's amazing. A difference. Yeah, there's a difference like between. What's that? Your last word cut out. What?
I'm just joking about they post about everything. Like, these are my new pants. Like, what do you guys think?
Yeah. No, it's like if somebody lost 100 pounds and they're showing their jeans, I'm all for that. But it's the person that's showing you do the 20 push-ups and then they get up out of breath like, another day. I'm not getting that work in.
Let's get it in. Everybody go out there and get it in. They act like they're trying to inspire you. It's like, dude, it's still about you. Stop it.
Oh, God, I love you.
Take the vanity shot and then writes a bunch of spiritual shit underneath it.
Yeah.
It's like, shut the fuck. I am, dude. I swear to God.
That's are you a wolf? Are you a wolf? Or is it because a wolf? That's like...
That's the dumbest shit ever.
Warriors don't need sleep. 5 o'clock in the morning.
When someone comes up to you and they shake your hand and they look away, that lets you know that they're trying to fucking get into your fortress. All of this stupid shit. It's just like, first of all, most of those people, it's like, you know, I just feel like they're just doing that for themselves. I just love the random, you'll hear just somebody just advice, audio of advice played over, like, I don't know what, somebody driving a cool car. And it's all just like sort of put together like a movie. And it's like, I don't even know if this person is successful. There is a fucking whole genre on social media of people acting as though they've figured life out.
Yeah.
I know a bit about that. People who have a paragraph of self-help on their shoulder blade. It's like, oh, is that for me? Am I supposed to be reading that? And I'm supposed to, I'm going to then learn your wisdom. I like when it's somebody else's fucking, they got somebody else's, somebody else said the shit and now put it on your body acting like, yeah, man, I agree with this. Like, I am this. Or is this like your motto? Is this what you live by? It's like Budweiser. We're Budweiser. We are the king of beers. We know of no other beers, but blah, blah. They're doing that to their own body.
Speaking of the king, we went to Martin Luther King.
Are you a king or are you a serf? Are you running your kingdom or is somebody coming over your drawbridge and you're sitting there without your spear up?
They bringing you food or you or you bringing it?
Are you a hunter or are you a gatherer? Better to be gathering when people are hunting than to be hunting when people are gathering. All right.
I'll tell you what, because I'm going to survive. I'm not the one. That's another one. I'm not the one. Okay. Fuck with other people. You don't fuck. I'm not the one. Fuck. I'll tell you that right now. Really? You're not the one?
We're all the one. When the fucking situation is right, we are all the one. There's always somebody that can come in and kick your ass, sucker punch you when you're not looking. You are the one.
There's one guy, these motherfuckers don't want pain. You want to stay in your bed when it's warm and comfortable? And as soon as he said that, I was like, yeah. I get exhausted. I got kids.
Rise and grind. Rise and grind.
Rise and grind.
Money
one.
Don't sleep. It's like all of you guys sound fucking miserable.
Oh, dude, I was on stage the other night at the Stand, and I go, I'm tired of you stupid couples, because they were young couples. I go, I'm tired of you stupid couples saying the dumbest shit on social media, like, happy 11-year anniversary to my ride or die, to my ride. I go, guys, she's not dying for you. She's not fucking dying for you, dude. Please, I go, yeah, she's the ride until the road gets bumpy, and then she's getting in another fucking car, you fucking dummy. Ride or
die. And then she'll blame you for the bumps in the road.
Yeah, you're to my right.
I tried to help you. I'm just exhausted. I have nothing left for you.
Yo, my
now,
queen.
Leave the That's... house that we paid for, because I'm used to a certain lifestyle.
Yo, only the best for my queen. This is my queen. It's like, the fuck up, dude. Yeah, this is my queen.
Fuck up. You ain't treating your bitch like a queen, and that queen is a bitch. You know what I'm saying? No, I don't know what you're saying, but I'm also not listening to your advice. I don't like when self-help is yelled at me.
Oh my God. I like the quotes that are normal. Like sometimes I'll put them on where a guy's like, yeah, do this and do this and you'll be happy in life. And I'm like, oh, that makes sense. Like, but I'm never the guy going like, you see this? No, dude.
It's about dedication. What are you dedicated to?
Some motherfuckers out here being lazy, not getting shit. Why do you think that is? It's like, it's like, it's not a secret. I get it.
Yeah. You work hard. There's a lot of luck involved. Now you try to be a nice person.
Exactly. No, dude, I got to tell you.
On that realistic self-help. Realistic and in that it makes sense. And then also you're also admitting to all of your shortcomings.
I'll say this.
I would start all my self-help with, hey, I'm not saying that I ever did this in life, but from what I've heard,
Yeah. That's what I was, I'll say this. There are some dudes that just get it. They say it calmly and they say something that could wake you up and spark something. And then there are the guys, like you said, yelling obvious. They're like, they claim motivational speakers and they are just yelling obvious. You want to work hard? Then you're going to, you don't want, and it's like, you're going to be confident. You believe in yourself. And it's like, that's where it's like, all right, this guy's fucking stealing money. This guy's stealing money.
I believe the kids call that fake deep.
Fake
There's
deep.
So much that it's acting like it's this mind blowing shit. It's like, this is common sense. You're just yelling it over footage of something cool, like a sunset. And I'm supposed to believe that's the view out the front of your house. I don't know what it is.
So I take the kids to Martin Luther King Day, Madison Square Garden, which the Knicks always play at home around either 12 or 1 o'clock in the afternoon. They do a big celebration. They have
Martin Luther King on Instagram. Yo, I have a dream. If you don't have a fucking dream in life, then you're sleeping. If Instagram was around in the 60s.
Oh, shit.
Abraham Lincoln on Instagram in the 1800s.
Yo, 47 years ago, motherfucker. I said I was going to do this shit.
What about Hitler?
Nobody believed me. I said I was going to be president. Everybody said you're too tall. Fuck all you bitches. I'm going to the theater.
What about Hitler? Guys, it's like fucking hashtag. That's like a meme. Schleichenbacher! Schleicher! Just like hashtag Nazi rules. Geisenbacher! Oh shit.
Yeah, you do the seed heil and then you kind of do this in the end of it. No, instead of going like that, you're doing like this. He'd be like going like this, Sammy Sosa. Oh shit, dude, that's a great bit. Hitler on fucking Instagram.
Hitler on Joan Rivers
on women.
Joan Rivers, rest her soul. One of the shows she did when she was an old woman, she just goes, Amelia Earhart would be tweeting, "Where the fuck am I?"
Dude, she's fucking amazing. She's one of the most creative fucking comedians ever.
No, dude. So we're at MSG, Martin Luther King, and on the big Jumbotron. And shout out to Joe G, buddy Joe Gonzalez, man. He hooked us up, dude. We were in this Marriott suite. It was amazing. Here's how spoiled my kids are. I said to my daughter, Sophia, I go, hey, baby. I go, you like being in the suite here at the Garden? She goes, I've never not been in a suite. And I was like, all right, well, we're going to go sit in the normal seats after.
Yeah.
Right. This was a favor. Okay. No, dude, they put Martin Luther King. So in between breaks during timeouts, there's either going to be old Knicks, Willis Reed or whoever talking. Who's the one that knew your album? What's his name? The Earl Monroe. So they're talking about him. And then they would just put a picture of Dr. Martin Luther King up with a quote. And then like they would do something between every break. And then at this one point, they just put Martin Luther King's face on the Jumbotron. And he just hear, happy birthday to you. And me and Joe Gonzalez just like, dude, what the fuck? Like, that's not the song he would want. It was like a festive, like, happy birthday.
He would probably like, want this. Isn't that the black version of happy birthday? As opposed to our white version? Happy birthday.
I don't know if it was the version they played, but it was so festive. And then it looked like a memorial. It looked like
they're like probably celebrating his life, I would imagine.
Yeah, but either way, it was fucking awesome. And the Knicks lost. What can you do? But being there, you know, I'm a big amenities guy, dude. Not having to go to the bathroom with strangers. Getting up and just grabbing. Dude, they had all kinds of
food. I got to be honest, a suite is overrated.
Oh, dude, I mean, how so?
Because the food sucks. It always fucking sucks. There's a whole bunch of mediocre fucking food. It fucking blows. You're not there with the crowd. Everybody's walking around. And then you don't really have a seat. So if you actually want to sit and watch the fucking game, the second you get up to get those stupid little mini hot dogs and the fucking thing on the stick or whatever, you come back, some fucking little kid is there or some shit, and then you're standing up the rest. I just feel like it's like I might as well have had just stood in my living room and done this. I want to be at the fucking game. I want to be sitting in the crowd.
Well, we had our seats.
I want to be away from the field. I want to be where the funny people still are. But the fucking, the stupid, the shit that they show on the screen is so nonstop. They shut down all the class clowns. There used to be one funny guy in every section.
Yeah.
It was like my thing, man, making people laugh at the game.
Yeah, but that causes fights. That's why. That's why they shut it down, because it turned into the fun guy to now fucking somebody throws a beer on that guy and then there's a fucking brawl. Because people don't know how to behave, dude. I got to tell you, NFL games.
I mean, what do you want? I mean, if you're serving alcohol, it's going to happen. It wasn't everybody. I mean, it wasn't every section.
Right.
It's just a couple of times. So now I got to watch. Which choo-choo train do you think's going to win? Number one, number two, or number three? Section five wins some donuts.
That's very true.
I don't like when everybody runs out on the fucking field. Every five fucking seconds, it drives me up the wall. That's what's great about hockey. Football doesn't have it. Baseball, and I think baseball and hockey, they do the fucking Jumbotron shit. And I noticed when I went to the Atlanta Falcons Mercedes-Benz thing, there was just all kinds of shit like that.
Yeah, but it's funny you said that, because I was going to say that's the most respectful NFL game I've ever been to. It was Saint fans standing up, talking shit, looking to Falcons fans. Then Falcons fans would stand up, talk shit, and then they would just smile at each other and nod. It was like a respectful, nice, like Southern thing where the Giants play in the Cowboys. I've seen it get fucking ugly in there. Where it's like when they did like the history of the Giants, one Cowboy fan standing up and he's like, fuck out of here, man. Fuck out of here with that. And it was just like, no, that actually happened. That actually, like, I know you have your Super Bowls. We have our Super Bowls, and they're just showing history. And also, one of the legends could be here. Like, and he's going, man, fuck out of here. Fuck. And it was like, I didn't see that in Atlanta. In Atlanta, it was all like kind of love. So I got to be honest, man, I'm good with watching NFL from home from now on. Unless a group of us go and we have a little section and have a good time, I'm not doing it. My son was like getting, like, my brother and son were there, and this guy's like standing over us. I'm like, no, man, what am I going to do? The guy's going to spill something. I'm going to end up fighting in front of my kids.
I don't understand those people. When I went to the Packers Lambeau Field against the Seahawks.
Yeah.
There was a Seahawks fan there, and they were singing the national anthem. This guy's going, he was wasted. Just going, oh, fuck the Packers. Suck a dick. Suck a dick. Fuck the Packers. He was literally saying there was like kids around and stuff. And I'm just sitting there and I'm seeing all of these Packer fans turning around. And I'm just going like, somebody, please.
Just knock this guy.
Who has no assets and nothing to lose. Just fucking, like, the way this guy was acting, it's like, dude, you've never gotten your ass kicked in your life. Dude, he was touching people's heads.
Bill, when you went to the bathroom and you came back, when me and you went to Bill's Jets and you came back and you go, dude, I had a Patriots hat on and somebody pushed me in the back. If I'm there next to you.
When I had my dick out, when I was going to take a piss.
But here's the problem. If I'm there with you and I see that, we get kicked out because I pushed a kid. I'm not going to watch that.
I'm going to tell you right now. If we are ever outnumbered and we're in a men's room, don't ever that is the worst place to get the shit stomped out of you. Those floors, the sinks, you don't want to hit your head or anything. And then you're laying in fucking piss and shit. Fuck.
I would have been like, oh, you're tough pushing my buddy when his dick's in his hand. Why don't you push me? I'm not holding my dick. And then I'd smack him in his face. Fuck that. Dude, I'm watching it at home.
Paul Versey talking a lot of shit from his compound. You know what I do in that Buffalo Bills fucking bathroom?
So let me ask you. Okay, so we'll reverse it. Do you think I'm there and I watch him push you and I don't say or do anything? You know me.
All I need is, hey, relax. Don't escalate it.
No, dude, I'm half hammered.
Then what you're going to do is then I'm going to get clocked and I'm going to go down with my dick out. And that's how they're going to find me. I don't need that.
I love how you put me as the voice of reason, half in the bag too, in a fucking restaurant. Hey, let's not escalate this. That's so, Andrew, were you going to say something? I felt like you were going to say something.
No, it's bad. I was just, that reminded me of DeRosa's joke about how all the NFL stadiums used to have cool names like Veterans Memorial. And how, like, you know, that meant something to fans, but like Lincoln Financial, like some guy who's puking up like on his own tits, like, you know, it, like that reminds me. Let me check my lungs.
Oh, Andrew froze again. You still there, Paul?
Yeah, I'm here. It's recording.
Oh, it is. Okay. Yeah, what's the Staples Center? It's not like we lost you, dude.
Sorry.
Yeah, you literally
I just butchered DeRozan.
No, no, you literally started talking and then it froze. And then at the end you go, so that there it is. It was like the whole thing.
You got DeRozan's joke in. You might know him. So
God,
funny.
God didn't want to hear that DeRozan joke in that moment.
No, but it's true though. Is that, what is it? The Bitcoin Staples Center now, whatever the fuck they call it.
No, the Sun. There's one in Atlanta. It's like where the Braves play, or I could be wrong, but like it went from like SunTrust to now it's like this long fucking just weird name.
Yeah, no one's gonna say it. That's like Candlestick. They still call it the Stick. I don't even know what it's supposed to be called.
Greatest stadium you've ever sat in, as far as seat. Viewpoints were amazing. You felt like you were there. The way it looked was great, and the game was visually great. Where's the best place you've ever seen? In any sport.
Now that you said great visuals, I can't throw the Boston Garden in there because it was all kinds of obstructed view.
They call that sight lines. Like they'll be like, oh, this place has great sight lines.
Everything just is the new ones are just they fixed all of those problems. But I would say, as far as like the classic old ones, the best one I ever went to. Wow, that's a good one. Yankee Stadium was great. Fenway Park, Wrigley, Tiger Stadium was great. A lot of the old ballparks were great.
As much as I hate to say this. I've never watched a ball game at Fenway, but when I went in there with you when it was empty and I go, oh my God, I go, these people are like on the field in their seats. Like that, I was just like, the fact that it looked like that and you could watch a major league game, to me, that looked like, I'm trying to think of the football.
You know,
version.
That was my theory with the Oakland A's, why they kept having all those great pitchers with low ERAs.
Pirates was my favorite place to watch a baseball game. Football, I loved when we went to Cincy. Don't love the Giants. Got to be honest. It's okay, but I don't love it. I'm sorry, you were
all
saying.
Right. My theory with Oakland A's just kept having Cy Young winner after Cy Young winner, all these guys with low ERAs. My theory on that was half their games of the year was played in the Oakland Coliseum, which was also a football stadium. There was so much foul territory. The amount of foul balls that get hit, that would be like 20 seats in at Fenway and were outs. And the guy, you know, the at-bat was over. I mean, I felt like it gave pitchers, you know, an out or two. You know, that might be too high, but it gives you a fucking out a performance, I thought, an appearance.
Yeah, and I
can't
remember-
back that up with, you know, analytics there, Paul, but.
No,
I believe.
I remember watching playoff games with Oakland, and the third baseman would run like 30 yards towards and still catch it. And in any other ballpark, it's in the seats, and it was just it sucked.
Yeah, it was a big time advantage to them. Having said that, I love the Oakland A's.
Remember watching football games where the baseball infield was in the middle of the football field?
Oh yeah. Oakland. Oh, yeah, during, like, September. And guys like Eric Dickerson would have, like, dirt on the back of his jersey, you know, and they'd get to, like, the pitcher's mound. Then the AstroTurf fields, they would cover them up. They'd have, like, a little toupee they'd put over the pitcher's mound, home plate first, second, and third. But the worst ones were the ones that actually had, like, a natural infield. It was so fucking ugly.
Yeah.
Yeah, the sports, I'm telling you, man, was not pretty when I was growing up as far as aesthetically. There was just a bunch of old piss troughs for kids and shit with adults with their big dicks fucking hanging. I mean, the first time I went to Fenway Park, you faced each other pissing into a fucking, there was a trough, something in the middle with like water and then another trough. There was all these guys with like their fucking dicks out hammered. It was like a dick and ball lineup looking across. That's how we ended up doing that in F is for Family when little Bill went into the stadium and he fucking was, came out, his eyes were all fucked up. That happened to me at Fenway. I came walking out like trying to process the fucking genitalia.
Yeah, I don't want my kid fucking you got a like 8-year-old kid going in there seeing some 54-year-old guy's balls. Ugh.
Yeah, dude, you were like it, like dick level. You just then, just above.
And your kid, you and your kid get back to the seat. You're like, we need to run, right? He's like, yeah.
So, yeah, you want to get a hot dog? Yeah, no. No, I think I'm good. In fact, I don't want any food for the rest of the game. I don't even know. Let's get out of here.
What a podcast this has been. You know, this has been, this is just another great one. Guys, we want to thank everybody for buying all the merchandise for Anything Better. We want to thank you guys for listening. And please tell a friend, spread the word. You could listen to Anything Better on Spotify, iTunes, anywhere you get your podcasts. Please listen to the Monday Morning Podcast, The Verzi Effect, all of our YouTube stuff, my YouTube channel. Check out paulverzi.com. February 4th and 5th, I'll be at the Fairfield, Connecticut Comedy Club. And I will be doing one night only, February 24th at the Pittsburgh Improv. So you could check me out there. I have Austin, Texas coming up, Tampa Bay coming up, Rhode Island. We're working on other dates, Buffalo, a bunch of stuff. So go to paulverzi.com. And yeah, this is.
Oh my God. Hey, and our apologies last week to all the gamblers out there, man. We're going to get them. We're going to get them this week. We usually don't do that to you. We gave you a bum steer on every fucking game, except the only one we picked was the Rams.
Yeah, it was. Listen. We did a bunch of teases. We got ahead of ourselves. Either way, no. But you know what? We made people money. You guys know what it was. 7.5 games above 500. Who does that? Nobody does that. Look, I know.
Well, you're only as good as last week. You're only as good as last week. We got to make it up this week. All right. That's it, everybody. Thank you guys for listening. My apologies that I had to reschedule the show. I'm just hoping that I stay negative here, but I'm going to do extra time when I come out there to Fantasy Springs. I'm really sorry, everybody, but it is what it is. It's another spike here. All right. We'll see you.